If you have your copy of God's Word, let's go ahead and go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we'll go ahead and begin with verses 1 through 6. Although, Lord willing, we will cover all the way down to verse 12, Lord willing, this evening. But we'll start with just verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 and going down to verse 6 to begin with. The Word of God here says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. There abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. There accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." This is the reading of the word, the text that we want to cover this evening to begin with. And in this text, we find that Luke is recording some events that took place after the riots at Ephesus. If you'll remember, it's been a couple weeks. Last week, we kind of went away from our study in Acts. But if you'll remember, in Acts chapter 19, there was a great riot that had taken place, a great mob that happened there. And Paul and some of the disciples were caught in the thick of it. And if you're keeping track, if you're following along in a map in the back of your Bible too, or just kind of trying to keep track, this is part of Paul's third missionary journey. So as you find these city names that are recorded here and all of this, you can kind of follow along. Usually most Bibles have a pretty good map. You can follow along there as well. But as you read these names of these cities and as you look at those maps, it is amazing to read of the events that took place, but then also to look at the map and see the mileage that Paul covered, the territory that he went. Indeed, in his missionary journeys and the spread of the gospel, Paul really did cover thousands of miles on these journeys. And those were the days that they had no automobiles, they had no planes, they had no trains. This was hard travel. And to what end? To what end? Well, It was all to the glory of God and for the spread of the gospel. He intended to spend and be spent for the cause of God and truth. You and I, we often will think nothing of it to spend and be spent for long trips, to go on vacations, to go on trips for work. We'll go here and we'll go there. Sometimes pack up and go and drive long, hard hours to go see some neat place, whether it be some great destination like the mountains, or to go see family and friends in New Mexico, and to go visit places. I've been privileged in my life to have seen both coasts. I've traveled near and far in this country. I've seen the redwood forests of California. I've dipped my toes in the Atlantic Ocean as well as the Pacific Ocean. I've seen San Francisco. And I've seen, of course, as far as you can go, on the East Coast as well. I've been pretty far north, up into New York and some of those places. I've seen the up in the northwest part of the state. I've been in Canada. I've seen some great places. But when I think about all those things, they've been temporary. They're memories I have. They were for pleasure, for entertainment, for the most part. They were nothing wrong with those things. A man, a family needs to get away sometimes and go on vacations and go places. But when I think about the amount of travel that I've done for entertainment and amusement, and compare it to what I've traveled for the Lord, it's not equal, not even close. And it's a sad commentary. One of these days, our works will be judged for the things that we've done, and the things of this flesh, they'll burn up. Those miles that I've done for the flesh, they're going to burn up. They're just of no eternal value. But the things of that we do for the Lord, those are the things that matter. And Paul was good at that. He had a great zeal, beloved. He had a great zeal for the truth. And as I think about that, I'm very convicted about what we're willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ. Indeed, there is a cost for serving the Lord. And sometimes I think about those things, especially the older I get, and the more I think about what we've really done for the Lord. We were visited by Brother Samru Sukraj not too long ago. He's traveling right now to visit churches. He's no spring chicken. When I first met him, I was a young boy, and he's been on the mission field for all these years, and now he's in his 70s and traveling across the country to visit supporting churches. He doesn't need to do that, but he is. It's got to take a toll on him. I can appreciate the fact that he's doing that. I think of Brother Peter Halliman, who also isn't as young as what he used to be. I've known him since I was just a I've known him longer than I've known Brother Samaru. I can't even remember when I first met Brother Peter. I was probably just a baby, I guess. But Brother Peter will be here in just December 8th through the 10th. We talked about that. But he travels all over the countryside of New Guinea and then comes here. You think he could take some time off? Sure he could. It'd probably be all the better for it. But what's he do when he gets over here? He comes over here, he helps his mom out. He does all those things, and then he gets on the road and he goes from church to church and place to place, preaching, spending and being spent for the Lord. He's glad to do it. He's glad to do it. He was just in California and he preached just about every day he was out there. And then he's come here preaching for us. He's excited to do it. Thankful to do it. But you know, if Brother Peter would have left when he left in the 90s and went to New Guinea, he could have gone over there to New Guinea and never come back to the States. The church could have authorized him to go, and he could have gone over there and never come back. He could have just mailed letters over here and all of those things. Avoided all the money, the hassle and all those things, the time. That would have been all right. But we're blessed to have men like that that come and that bring good news from a far country. We're thankful for that. And I thank God for men who are willing to do that. And women too. Women as well. Oftentimes, a missionary will go and his wife will go with him. And all those things. Don't forget that as well. Brother Paul, here in this third missionary journey, he could have said, man, I'm getting old. It's time for you young people to take it up. But he didn't. He kept on. He kept on. And sometimes we struggle. We struggle in our modern society with our cars that we've got. I mean, it's kind of almost ashamed to say, but, you know, it's cold this morning. Turned on the heater on my car, popped on the heated seats, and all these luxuries we've got. And then sometimes comes Wednesday night, Sunday morning, oh, it's too cold. Too rainy. Too tired. Let's consider these things. Well, the uproar ceased. Paul wasn't liked everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, there was either an uproar, a riot, or a revival. There was quite an uproar that happened in Ephesus. And it finally calmed down. We looked at all that last time we were in Acts. And go back to chapter 19, listen to my sermon online. But Paul called to him the disciples in verse 1. And embraced them. You see, Paul knew that in those moments that they needed comforted. Paul had bruises and skin knuckles. He had scars. This man had been through so much. And he didn't say to those disciples, hey, y'all just need to toughen up and get used to it. No, no. He'd been through a lot already, but he took the time to embrace them, to comfort them. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Sometimes when you're in the Lord's work and you know that there's a cost and you know that there's trouble and you know that there's problems and you know that there's issues that's going to happen, sometimes some younger people come through and they go through some issues and some things. Remember, they need to be comforted. They need to be encouraged. Let us, who are more seasoned in the faith, encourage them. Hey, I know it's tough. I know that riot was an issue. I know it's tough at work. But be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has been with me through all of these problems. He's going to be with you too. That's why I enjoy reading about Paul. That's why I enjoy hearing from missionaries. Even guys that we maybe don't support. Perhaps fellas that maybe theologically we have some differences. But I love to read about them and their stories and how that God is with them in some measure. I encourage you to read about the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Understand that there's places in this world where people are getting into trouble, being persecuted just for going to church. There's places in this world where there are individuals who are struggling to get Bibles smuggled into countries, but God is with them. And what an encouragement that is. And to see that and be encouraged by it. Read the reports from fellows who are with Baptist Faith Missions and even Heart Cry. Get some of those. Hear from the missionaries who aren't the ones that we support. By all means, read the ones that we support, but hear from others as well and be encouraged to know that we aren't the only ones who have struggles. And while it is that you and I, we may not struggle with persecution from the outside here in this country, every single day we struggle with our number one enemy, the flesh. But we can overcome that and we can get on with the service of God. Paul encouraged them, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, verse 2, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. He gave them exhortation. He gave them exhortation there. There must be exhortation coming from the preacher. There must be. Verse 3, as we move on, there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. Excuse me. there abode 3 months when the Jews laid wait for him. I want to focus in right there. When the Jews laid wait for him. Sometimes we read over this and we miss it. But there's something sinister going on here. There's something terrible happening here. The way it's worded here, if you're not careful, you'll just read right over it. My Legacy Standard Bible words it this way: and there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. There was a plot. They were waiting for him. They weren't just waiting for him so they could talk to him. There was an actual plot, you see. This was a dangerous thing that was happening. The Jews were after Paul. And you know why that is? As you look at these maps and as you consider the places that Paul has been, he became the face of Christianity. He became the most wanted. Christianity had been confined to Jerusalem, remember, at the very beginning. But now it was being spread all over the place. And who did they always find in every place where there was a church? It was Paul. And so to the outsiders, to the Jews, this seemed like Paul was responsible. And so if there's anybody they're going to go after, they're going to get Paul. And if they can get Paul, if they can destroy Paul, then that, in their mind, would cut the head off of Christianity. They had already done that to Jesus and it didn't work. Right? I mean, they killed him and he rose from the grave after 3 days. That didn't work so well for them. So now they're after Paul. It is sad to think about that these were his own countrymen. Remember, Paul had been around these fellows for much of his life. These were his own flesh and blood people. Perhaps even some of his own family. Maybe fellows he went to school with. People he may have worked with at some point. Maybe some people who went to the same school as he did. I mean, these were... Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11... Verse 26, as Paul was writing to the church of Corinth and describing some of the things that he had gone through, in verse 26 he says, "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." So he had perils. By his own countrymen, and perils by the heathen. Which do you think hurt the worst? Which do you suppose hit him the hardest? Well, I can tell you, as an American, that it would hurt me the most to think that trouble would come to my neighborhood from my neighbors. I would much rather have trouble come to my neighborhood from an outsider. To have trouble come to my neighborhood from the Chinese or the Russians or the Cubans or whatever. Anybody but my own neighbors. Right? And so because of this danger, in Acts chapter 20, because of this danger, Paul changed his plans. Instead of sailing from Greece to Syria, he decided to go north into Macedonia, cross the Aegean Sea to Asia Minor, and catch another ship from there. You see, we can glean something from this. Even though Paul did indeed suffer persecution, and even though he did have scars and bruises, and he had been roughed up before, he knew some things about what trouble was like, but he wasn't an idiot, okay? And you're not a coward if you know trouble's coming and you avoid it. Understand that. If you know that there's people or a group of people that's going to cause you harm, you don't need to be a punching bag. You don't even have to be a martyr. You can live to see another day. God gave us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in these things. Paul had that. And we need to be in much prayer that as things get worse and worse in this country, that we'll have that kind of wisdom, that we'll understand when it is we need to go and when we need to stay. When trouble comes, there may be a time that we need to stay and stand our ground. There may be times when we need to flee. We need to pray that God will give us wisdom in those things. In verse 4, there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. What do we find here? Well, we find that Paul had quite the group with him. He had people from all over who was with him. Missionaries did not travel alone in those days. In fact, minimally, they had two with them, and quite frequently, more than that. This is the pattern that, for whatever reason, we've drifted away from. In our modern churches. But when we look at the patterns in the New Testament, we find that Jesus sent the 70 by twos. We find that when the Holy Spirit was working through the church at Antioch, he said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." You see, a missionary team, two. Even within the church, there was multiple deacons and elders. They worked together to the glory of God. The ministry is not to be done alone. Wherever it's at, and however, whatever office it is. In this, we find some names here that we, maybe some of them you recognize and some of them you don't recognize. As you look through these names here in verse 4, think about this. This is the way it is in churches today. Beloved brethren and sisters, understand that we all play a part in the work of God, whether you're well known or not. You don't have to make or have a name that is known among men in order to be a blessing to others or to be used of God. I've had to learn this myself. You see, I don't need to attend every Bible conference that there is in the United States. I don't need to be a great writer for every Baptist newspaper that's out there. I don't need to have a great social media, internet presence. But I'll tell you what I need, and that's the same thing that you need. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Do you realize that there are pastors, missionaries, and churches that nobody else has ever heard of? They existed in history, and I believe they exist right now. And yet nobody has heard of them. And I believe that they will one day will know of them in glory. We'll know of them when we're with the Lord. And I believe that we'll find out that what men think is great down here isn't the same thing as what the Lord counts as greatness. Some of these names that we read of here that we don't know much about, they may have been great in the churches, and they may be given great reward someday at the judgment. And yet we don't know much about them. That's because it's not our business. It's the Lord who judges. It's the Lord who sees what's happening. One preacher put it this way. He said, why would God cause a rose to grow and bloom in the middle of a forest where nobody would ever see it? And the answer is, because God sees it, and He gets the glory out of it. And there are men who are serving the Lord today that aren't known, but they're serving the Lord. And that's all that matters. There are women who are serving the Lord in churches all around this world and all through history, and we don't know their names. Be encouraged. Be encouraged when you come across names in the Bible that you don't know their names, you don't know much about them. It's okay. God knew them. And God knows your name. And He knows what you're doing for the Lord, even if no one else does. You will get rewarded for what you've done and are doing. What a joy it is. Keep serving the Lord. Keep being faithful. Even if it seems that no one notices or appreciates. Verses 5 and 6. Those going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Well, so this group, it seems to me that some of them traveled on. Some of them stayed with Paul. Notice how it's worded there. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. At minimum, we know that Luke was with Paul and maybe some others. But anyway, the party split, but they got back together there at Troas. And so, very quickly, I want us to consider verses 7 through 12. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, y'all can, if you underline or highlight things in your Bibles, you can underline that or highlight that. That's a good verse to remember. As Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Paul was long preaching. It's intriguing to me that the book of Acts is just that. It is the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the sermons of the Apostles. We don't really have a collection of their sermons. There are some small examples here and there, but we don't have books of the sermons of the apostles. But here we're told that Paul was long preaching there. And as he was preaching, Scripture says that there was a man by the name of Eutychus. He fell asleep and dropped out of the window into the street. Some commentators will tell you that he was just knocked unconscious. Some will say that he was dead. I believe that he was literally dead. I believe that's what was actually being spoken of here when he was taken up dead in verse 9. But Paul, as he was an apostle, went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Paul had apostolic powers, and Eutychus was brought back to life that day. It's interesting, the name Eutychus, I'm told by some commentators smarter than me, that Eutychus means lucky. That's what the name Eutychus means. But it was not luck or fate or chance that day that that he survived this situation and lived to see another day. It was no coincidence that Paul was there and that this all happened the way it did. This was God looking out for him. I don't know much about Eutychus, but I kind of imagine that when if Eutychus was alive when Dr. Luke finished his two-volume series, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, Eutychus got his copy and started reading through it. I would imagine that maybe some of Eutychus's friends probably gave him a rough time about this incident. What were you doing falling asleep when Paul was preaching? And that sort of thing. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm glad he was. I'm glad that this is recorded here. And I'll tell you why I'm glad this is recorded here. Because I've been in the pew too. And I have been there during after a long day of work. The evening is what it is, and I have fallen asleep during church. And I'm reminded that the flesh is what it is. It can be a struggle sometimes. Thankfully, I've never fallen out of my chair. And for sure, I've never fallen out of a window. But I have fallen asleep. Understand something. And I want this to be an encouragement to you. I want you to be encouraged to come to the house of God even when you're tired. And don't be embarrassed if you are so tired that you think you might fall asleep. Okay? Now there are some times when you may need to rest because of physical ailments and all that. I'm not talking about those times. But I'm talking a normal, everyday kind of that sort of sleepiness. Be in the house of God. If you fall asleep, God will stir you in a way that is much better in the service than it will be if you stay home. Let me give you an example from my own life. This past Lord's Day, I was tired, but we drove over to New Hope Baptist Church, my kids and I. And typically on Sunday afternoon, I take a nap. That's just what I do. But I didn't do it last Sunday. And we drove over to New Hope. And that's in St. Mary's. And we went to their evening service. And I had a terrible time just staying awake. The preacher wasn't bad. The service was really good. And we had a good time. The service was a blessing. The fellowship was a blessing afterwards. But what would have happened if I would have said, you know what, I'm going to stay home? Well, I might have gotten a nap, but I would have missed out on some blessing. Beloved, we can sit through a lot of things in our lives. We can sit through ball games. We can sit through movies. And they last for longer than 2 hours. Yet a sermon goes on beyond 30 minutes, makes us feel uncomfortable. These things ought not to be. I can assure you that the sermons that we hear, they are for our spiritual good. And as spiritual good, I mean for our eternal good. So come, come. I know there are times when we can't, but come, come and try to stay awake. Pay attention. I was in one service one time and preacher told a story. I assume it was real. He said that the preacher said, "Hey," told the deacon, said, "Hey, that young man back there is asleep. Will you go wake him up?" And the deacon said, "You put him to sleep. Why don't you wake him up?" Those things happen. Those things happen. But we all have those struggles and all that sort of thing. But the Word of God is important. Anything that's important is worth fighting for. And sometimes that means even fighting the flesh. And we all know we fight the flesh out there. Sometimes we fight the flesh in here too. I don't know what was going on in Eutychus' life. He may have just been tired because it was about midnight. I heard one preacher try to say that Paul was a boring preacher and that's why Eutychus fell asleep. I don't think that was the problem. There may have been stuff going on in Eutychus' life. He may have been just working hard. Whatever the case may be, we're just told he fell asleep. You know what we don't read? We don't read of a rebuke about it. We read that Paul went, embraced him, helped him out, and then went on with the service. And that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen. I wish that we had a record of some of Paul's sermons. Some more of them. I mean, we've got some of them, but wouldn't it be neat to have a record of some of those other sermons? We don't, but I tend to think that he was doing what Paul normally did, and he was expounding the word, preaching the word. He was for sure telling them about Jesus, and those were the things that he enjoyed doing. And I believe. That his sermons weren't much different than the sermons that we have now. The only difference is we've got the whole Word of God. And in those days, he didn't. But what a joy it is to be able to preach and to hear God's Word being preached. And so Eutychus lived to see another day. Paul got to finish the sermon and the service. There was lots of excitement that night. And Lord willing, well, we'll go ahead and stop there. But Lord willing, we will continue on into the rest of the chapter, including Paul's important charge to the elders of Ephesus, which is also very, very applicable to us.